And if you like, I can go over the mooring, the impact on moorings at this time, if that's...
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Okay. So I met with Matt a couple times, just talked about... Clearly, this plan impacts moorings. You can't see it on this plan, but you can kind of see it on this plan. This shows where the moorings are on this plan, and you can see that where we're proposing the wave break and some of the floats for routing solutions.
Excuse me, Matt, are those the ones that are here?
One with the most red balls is the one we're looking at now.
Okay. So Matt and I talked about options, and the one that's up here on the beginning, well, first of all, let me go back and kind of give you some facts and figures that we had. Oh, here we go. So in this zone where, you know, the complete inner harbor and the area where outside of the wave break and all of these moorings, I guess you'd say, you know, south of the channel towards the south end, this group of moorings, which is kind of the largest group of moorings, there are roughly 275 moorings, including these in close and all of these right here. So that's existing conditions. The circles that you see in gray on this plan came from data that Matt collects when they do the paperwork for mooring, which includes the, you know, length of bottom chain, length of top chain, length of boat. Put all that together, and it generated swing circles, and that's why you see all these different size circles on the plan. This plan in front of you here, Matt and I were talking, like, you know, it's kind of a hodgepodge. There is a channel, an informal channel that is used, and we certainly acknowledge that this proposed wave break would intercept that channel, and therefore we would have to relocate that. So this layout kind of twists that and lines a channel up to the end of that wave break. So when you're coming from a dinghy, say from Middle Pier, you would go past the wave break and right into this informal channel and access the new mooring field. These circles, these red circles on this plan, are the larger of what we saw from the data that Matt had. This is a 65-foot radius circle, so 130-foot diameter. And I kind of laid them out there, snugged them together, and there's 277 circles you see here, all lined up in rows and organized. That would require you to displace all of the moorings and reorganize the whole mooring field, which...
Who pays for that?
Well, that would be part of the projects in close, yeah. And that's an undertaking. So we're allowing ourselves just to kind of think here. You know, we're not saying that this is the best plan. This is a plan, okay? So this is all conceptual. So we're not locking anything in, and we need input as well. But the good part about this is it organized things. You could actually number or letter your rows, and you would have coordinates, and everything would be just, you know, a nice field of moorings as opposed to kind of haphazard and scattered.
It's a logical way to organize it as well as be able to expand on it.
Yeah.
But we do have a couple of phone calls in some other larger harbors that have done something similar. So
The downside to this is you've got to move all of your moorings. So 270 some odd. So
Matt has to do that, right?
Yeah.
No. That's why I asked the question.
I'll get on phone calls. And I might have to move.
Because if it's $100 a mooring and there's 270 mooring balls.
I got two quotes, one at 50, one at 100, on a couple of the mooring inspectors that we have that do the majority of the moorings in this mooring field. And it was expressed to me in previous meetings that Yachting Solutions would be open to suggestions when it comes to funding. So once we develop, all of us sit down and develop a good plan on where we want to go, at that point we'll start talking money.
Because right now the mooring balls are kind of willy-nilly.
They are.
Okay.
Yeah, they certainly are.
I'm sorry to interject here, and you can tell me to be quiet if this is the wrong time, but in moving a mooring, it's not just moving the mooring, because from where these are, 90% chance they're all going to go into deeper water. Mm. So that means that gear is going to have to change too.
Mm.
we looked at that, and it's, you know, 8, 9, 10 feet is right about kind of the average. Now, you're absolutely correct. The ones that are on this side right here are, you know, 5, 6 feet. So you are correct. There will be some chain changes for sure. So
for the fishermen.
It's going to be, well, no, not just whoever owns the moor.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's something we're going to have to talk about when it comes to funding to move, you know, move the moorings. Yeah. Hit the nail on the head. Yeah.
So, if I might, there's another option that I put together, and this is more minimal in nature. And what this does, it still realigns the informal channel, so that you access the channel right at the end of the wave break. So you don't have to make a hard right turn and get into the old channel. And what this does is I kind of numbered in black on this plan. It's really small, but I numbered all the moorings that are going to have to move because of either the work that's going to happen with floats and infrastructure in here or the channel. And then I took each one of them, copied them, and moved them elsewhere in the field. So there's a total of 54, I think I have 55 moorings that have to get moved in this option. And what I did is I took and put them, you know, with a little bit of thought, but as close as I could to where they were, into spaces that were in the current mooring field or on the edges of the mooring field where there was some opportunity. And there's still some more opportunity out here to grow the field. But this minimizes the amount of moorings that would have to get moved and, you know, takes, since we're creating a channel over here, we kind of occupied the old channel and put moorings in that location. And again, I said there's 55 that I'm showing moved here. So that's kind of a minimalist approach. As you can see, with these swing circles, there's actually a bunch of them that overlap, you know, and so I think that, you know, as the boats behave and wind, they all line up going the same way, and, you know, I'm surprised there isn't, looking at this, I'm surprised there isn't more conflict, but, you know, it's working.
So would there, when you move the mooring balls, because let's say you've got somebody who's got a mooring ball that's right here, right out here, which is coveted space. I mean, people, that's what people look for, is something that's close. Is there going to be some fairness in how you move the ones that are really, you know, people have paid for these, coveted, so, and, you know.
That's up for discussion. What I did when I started numbering in close, like in here with 1, 2, 3, 4, and I tried to, and when I moved these in the drawing, I took and started at the low end, and I tried to move them as close as possible. It wasn't an exact science, but if you started to analyze this or looked at it, you'd see that as you went out, the higher numbers head out this way. You know, it became a matter of space at some point. You had to just go out to the edge. But, you know, like, for instance, 1, 2, 3, and 4, here's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right by the channel, right by the end. So they were in here, and they're right front and center. So that's... I understand the sentiment, and that's what I tried to do when I did the plan. Totally up for discussion and up for moving stuff around, and So that's kind of where we're at. We're hoping we get some comments, some give and take, and